Hey, it's Michael.
And this is Darlene.
And this is
Our Take.
So, Darlene, what are we talking about today?
Oh, we have a good show today, Michael. Today we are talking about dating after divorce and how to know if you're ready. Like, are you ready?
Yeah. Are you ready out there? Dating after divorce. I got to tell you, dating after divorce is it's like a whole new world. You know, depends how long you've been married for. The longer you've been married, it's kind of like you're going from New York City and getting dropped off in the Sahara Desert. Yeah. You're just like, all your bearings are off. You don't know how to look people in the eye anymore. You don't know what's up, what's down. And we're going to go over a few things today that is going to try to get you ready, or at least, are you ready?
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true because I think it could be pretty scary, you know, coming out of divorce and getting back into dating and really just not knowing what you're getting into. You know, these days, everybody is on the apps, and a lot of people that are getting divorced came from a time where there were no dating apps. So it's a whole new ball game. And how to know if you're ready for that. The wild west of online dating, and how to know, like, if you're ready personally to get back into dating. That's something that we really need to talk about today.
Well, you know, like you were saying, are we ready? Are you ready? You know, you get divorced and the first thing you want to do is either get some penis or some vagina, right? You want to just get out there. You've been stuck with someone else that obviously you got divorced from, so you're probably not having sex. Unless you're having breakup sex.
We'll save that for another episode, Michael.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we will. That's got a lot of content.
Yes, it does.
But, yeah, we're gonna talk.
Let's do it. So here's the thing. Number one, I think one of the most important things to really look at is, and this is for men and for women, this is for anyone, is have you done the inner work? Yeah, you really have to have taken a step back and to look at your previous relationship that you came out of and really understand what went wrong, why it didn't work out, what was your role in that, take ownership of your role and do whatever healing work you need to do, whether it's with a therapist or coaching, because otherwise you're just going to get back out there and find somebody else and basically repeat the pattern. So have you done the work?
Well, you know what? You said it just the way it's supposed to happen, but in the real world, that most likely doesn't happen. Because when you get divorced, you think you were the right one. You left on your own. There was something wrong with them, right?
Well, and that's true, right? Like, you know, nobody, you know, most people don't want to look at that. But the reality is that if you're not taking any ownership of the failing relationship, then you haven't learned what you need to learn. And you're not ready. You're not ready.
Well, you're 100% correct with that, because it takes two to make something fail. Yeah. That's what at least I learned. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I was married twice. They both didn't work out. But I did work on myself, which mm-hmm. did prepare me for the new world that's out there. But it prepared me for me. You have to get to know yourself.
Right.
You got to get to know why you failed. You got to know your part.
Yes.
Of what failed. And you just got to take accountability for it, admit it, and then you got to move on. And definitely, you need therapy. You definitely do.
You know, here's the thing, though. It doesn't mean that you have to be a completely healed person, right? Because the reality is that relationships offer us this space to continue the healing journey. It's just a matter of making sure that you have enough self-awareness to understand this is just what went down. Like, this is why this didn't work. Yeah, that other person had faults and there were a lot of reasons, things that they brought to the table, perhaps that, you know, caused the demise, but also I could have done better. These are things that I could have done and I will do better next time so that you're at least, you know, coming at it from a more evolved space.
True.
Yeah.
True.
So that's number one. Number one is you got to do the work. You got to have some reflection, understand where things went wrong, your part in it, and at least own that enough to say, okay, next time I'm going to do better at a baseline.
And most people try.
Yeah.
They think they did the work, but they obviously didn't. But we need to pretty much, I'd like to go over, are you emotionally ready to get out there? And it depends on what you're looking for, correct?
It's true. Yeah, like, knowing what you want and what you're looking for is first.
Like, I was married for 10 years, same vagina, penis. I'm going to go out there and tear up the world. Who's next? Who's first? Who's getting in line for some of this? Come and get it, right? You're like, yeah, come and get it. Well, coming and get it only lasts so long. So you got to come and get it. I just want to experience some penis or vagina. And then there's, what else is there, Darlene?
So, you know, basically it's like, you know, when you're first getting out there, you want to know what you're looking for is what you're saying. Like in the beginning, a lot of people just want to have some experiences or have a good time, you know, feel like, you know, maybe they've been in prison, right? For some time or.
Yeah, man, you're at, you did some, you did 25 years hard time.
You did. And you're
solitary. Hopefully you're in a marriage that you were able to go out, right? You're able to like go work on your car or go out with your friends for dinner, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully.
Maybe go hit the country house with your friends.
Yep. Yeah. But, you know, so knowing what you want and there's nothing wrong. Like if that's the case, you want to, you know, just go have a good time, but that's cool. But then there's some people that are looking for something a little more like, you know, meet new people, have some...
Make new friends, out there, experience the nightlife, the bars, you know. The bars only go so far, right? And then you're out at dinner or you go travel, right? You meet someone when you're away on vacation. You get some, like, vacation hookup action.
Oh. Sounds like Michael's had some fun on vacation.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, because I never really went on vacation.
Yeah.
I just came back with my daughter. Like, there's nothing going on that
yes.
trip, right?
No, I mean, like, previous.
Yeah,
I meant
no.
previous, like.
No, I did go to Nashville.
Dating. Yeah.
I did go to Nashville. Nothing, there was no sex, but there was.
You had a good time.
Yeah, I came back with COVID and strep throat. So just think about that for
well,
a few moments.
I think you mentioned something about licking faces.
Yeah, so I did. I licked quite a bit of faces on that trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
But so you were in that phase of like, you know, just wanting to get out there, meet new people, have a good time.
Let loose. Let the steam out.
Right, right.
I definitely let loose. I definitely had some fun.
And then there's the, you know, the second stage of, you know, maybe more like situationships, right?
Yeah, well, from what my kids tell me, I got 20-year-old kids, and they're like, there's something called a situationship. It's like you're dating, but you're not. You just kind of hook up, but you're hooking up with that one person. Like, what the hell is that? What the hell's a situationship? But I've seen it. Maybe I've experienced one or two of those. But if you break it down, it's not really, that's if you're trying to get out there and tear it up a little bit with options.
Yeah.
That leaves your options open.
Right.
Without hurting anybody, I guess.
Right. It's essentially two people, you know, you like each other. You might be seeing other people. You're just not committed to one another. And then there's the next category, right, which is people that are looking for the real thing, looking for a relationship.
Yes. And that's when what we were talking about before, you need some therapy. You need to know who you are.
Yeah.
You need to know why it failed. You need to know your goals. You need to know that you can be alone, but yet let someone else into your world and commingle your worlds a little bit so you can have a successful relationship.
Yeah.
And And that's where serious, like, really, people, you got to get the therapy. You got to know who you are. You really got it. Like, if you're a marriage counseling, when you hit marriage counseling, it's, you're just putting some Band-Aids on a problem. But it never heals. Eventually, it ends. But you got to, you just got to get out there.
Yeah. I think what to your point, what you were saying about being emotionally available and knowing if you're emotionally available. So, like, just to give them something to go off of. Number one, it's like, can you tell somebody? Can you verbalize? Are you aware of, like, what went wrong? Did you take ownership? Are you still complaining about that other person? Right. Like, so if you're like, yeah, I know what went wrong. I know what my role was. I took responsibility. And yeah, I do feel emotionally open enough to be vulnerable. I think that's a key for anybody listening. Like, if you're not ready to open yourself up to be vulnerable, to, share how you're feeling or what's really going on for you, then maybe you're not yet emotionally ready.
I don't think anyone's emotionally ready.
Oh, no?
No, I think it just happens.
You have to choose.
You got to find your person.
Yeah.
But you do need the therapy. Let me
definitely need the therapy.
Wait. Who needs therapy? Yeah.
Round of applause for therapy. And for anyone who's been through therapy, like, kudos to you. That's it's awesome to have enough awareness to say, I'm going through a hard time. I'm confused. This sucks. I've got a lot of emotions. And, like, go talk to somebody. I think everybody needs a therapist.
Especially, when you get divorced. The relationship fails, the marriage fails, and you have kids.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take care of those kids.
Yeah.
Like, really, you really got to take care of those kids. It's not about getting out there and jumping into a sack with someone or even meeting someone. Like, you really got to make sure your house is in order, honestly, before you should even go out.
Yeah.
Begin dating after divorce. You should really make sure your house is in order. Because the most important thing, the dynamic that's always going to be there are your kids.
Sure.
They're always going to be there. And then that's when you get your house in order. Your kids have structure, activities, consequences, expectations. Then you are able to venture out. Because then at
that
point, it's not just because everyone forgets about the kids.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a spouse, like, took off and left you holding the bag and they're gone, right? Then you're fucked. Like, now you're single, kids, whether you're male or female. I mean, I've raised my daughters for about 10 years. I'm not going to get into it on this episode, but I was a single father. I did raise my three daughters. I did have some help. But my first priority were to the kids.
Yeah.
And then after that, it went into, at that time I was engaged. So
right.
I already had mistake number two.
Queued up.
Queued up. It was in the queue. I don't know. It was looking real good. It was looking real good there for a while. But yeah, you got to really take care of those kids. And then once you're ready, you get out there.
Yeah.
And then you start to explore. It's like an exploration.
It is an exploration. But I really love that you brought that up because, I mean, we obviously don't forget the kids ourselves, right? Like, our kids are our priority. But it's true. You can sort of lose focus going through the chaos of divorce and making sure to what you said, that your house is in order should definitely be something that comes first before you venture out.
Because when you are divorced and then you want to go out and date, you got to build the foundation. It's like a house. You can't just jump up, start building the second floor when you don't have the concrete laid to hold the second floor. Otherwise, it's going to come tumbling down. And then it's a disaster. Build a solid foundation. Get your shit together.
Yeah.
Right? Take care of your kids. Get the therapy. Right? Usually most people that get divorced, they end up contacting old friends. You start shooting the shit. You start opening up your mind again, and you're starting to feel again. You're starting to feel the energy around you come through you, and awakening your inner self.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you really got to know your inner self. You need to wake up. And then once you're awake and you put your glasses on and you can see what the hell's going on around you, now you can go take the next steps.
Yeah.
Which you're going to meet someone where? Like supermarket, gas station, maybe if you're at shopping for clothes.
The gym.
Oh. And then we got the dating apps.
Oh, the dating apps.
Dating apps, which we're going to go over on another episode because there is so much content for dating apps. And Darlene and I just know them very, very, very well.
Yeah.
So you're definitely going to want to tune in for that one.
So we'll touch on it just a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit, just for the setup, right?
Go ahead. Well, beautiful Darlene. Show us the way.
Well, here's the
show
thing.
Show us the way.
Oh, boy.
That's on me.
So here's the thing, because, you know, you had mentioned it earlier, like self-love, right? Before you're ready to date, you have to love yourself more than the relationship you might be entering. Because when you start dating, right, and you're dating different people and you start forming attachments, starting to have feelings, you have to be willing to love yourself more than the situation you're in and be willing to walk away, because you are going to meet people that are not right for you. It's destined to happen. You're not going to meet the one right off the bat unless you're a unicorn. You're like 99.99% of people will not meet their next person as their first person getting back out there dating. You have to be willing to walk away.
That's true. But when you first meet that first person and you got a little chemistry going.
Yeah.
And then the music starts going. It's like, bow, chicky, wow, wow. Right, guys? Right, ladies?
Well, that's right.
It's automatically, it's like, this person likes me. This person thinks I'm hot and sexy. I want to jump their bones. You're mistaking lust. You're mistaking
excitement
for love, for feelings.
Right.
It's very exciting. You get pulled into that vortex. And it's most likely hot for the first month or two. And then you realize, like, yo, man, she's a bad mom, or he's an asshole. He just doesn't show up when he says he does.
Inconsistent, right?
And you realize that there were so many red flags everywhere that it was like a bad soccer game. Red cards getting handed out.
Yes.
It's like people are like, yo, man, that they're not good for you. And you're just like, no, they're a good person. And then after a while, you realize that.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, like, women, I'll speak for the women right now. Like, you can protect yourself from heartbreak. You can protect yourself from the players, the game players, by having enough self-love and self-awareness to say to yourself, like, these are my boundaries. These are my expectations, you know, and holding yourself to that. So, like, it's because it's very easy to start, you know, talking with someone and get excited about it, like you were just saying. And then, you know, maybe a red flag shows up. Actions are not matching the words. And so instead of paying attention to that and maybe taking a step back to assess if you're with somebody who's really available for you, or perhaps he's a player dating a whole bunch of women, you know, you stay with it. You don't say anything and you end up with someone who's not available and you end up getting hurt. So that's why you got to have self-love. You got to have your boundaries. You have to have your expectations and say, you know what, if this is not there, I'm willing to walk away.
That's right.
Michael just wanted to hit the button.
I just wanted to hit that button. That sounds freaking awesome.
It does. We have a really cool interface that's fun to play with.
I know. And we're playing with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think those are some of the really key things for people to really consider, you know, if they're ready to get back out there dating after divorce. And if you are, if you're listening to this and you're like, you know what, I've done the work, I've done therapy, I know where it went wrong on my end, I'm ready to take accountability for that and do different next time. I got my house in order. I know what my expectations are, what my boundaries are. Like, then you're ready. Then you're ready to get out there. And we have some good content coming up for you in the next couple episodes, all about first dates and dating profiles and all of that good stuff. Right, Michael?
That's right. Just remember, you got to be healed before you can get out there.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to let someone into your vortex and you're not healed, it's not going to work. It will not work. It will fail 100%. You got to get the inner work done. You got to know the love for yourself, values. You got to know what you want.
Yeah. And I'll say to anyone listening who's thinking, you know what, maybe I'm not ready because, no, I haven't done the work and I really should, I would say make sure you get yourself a good coach or therapist who can help you to look at your childhood patterns, because that's the patterns from our childhood are what the patterns for who we choose in relationship are. So make sure you go to somebody who can help you understand that piece of it. Really important.
That is really important.
Yeah.
But finding the right person to help you through that is also another challenge that you come up against. You can't just go to anyone. You got to go to like an expert that doesn't take insurance and pay them whatever they want.
It's true.
Really. Yeah. True. I mean, you can, don't go to your health insurance and be like, all right, I found this therapist. All right. They're only getting like $40 a visit. They don't give a shit. They want to keep you coming back and back and back and back and back. And you're getting nothing out of it. Like, besides loss of time, driving, you know, you walk out, you're more confused than you did when you walked in.
Yeah.
You need a great therapist. I had a great therapist, and she really just broke it down. She nailed it on like the second session. And then from there, work, healing, you know, taking accountability, doing what you got, you're putting the work in, and then eventually you get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're wondering, like, well, how would I know if a therapist can help me with this? It's somebody who, they'll focus on your attachment style. That's a big thing. A lot of therapists will let you know that that's something that they address, as well as, you know, they really have to look at your childhood wounding, because there's a direct correlation between what was missing for you as a child, like what you didn't get from your mom and dad, and what you are attracted to in relationship. So finding somebody who can help you explore that is key.
Yeah. They usually go right to your childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't shy away from it. Like, jump in.
Because there's a lot of trauma in our childhood. I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I graduated high school in the early 90s, and everyone's parents were getting divorced. They were out partying, and we kind of fended for ourselves and turned into Guidos. And, you know, we were out of control. Our parents didn't know where we were. So
Michael was a Guido. Michael's still a Guido.
I am a little bit. I do hit some freestyle nights. I guess I am a Guido at heart, but
he's a very good looking Guido. He's being humble. He's being humble, ladies.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
The beautiful Darlene. Darlene's very beautiful too.
Yeah, we connect. Michael and I connect.
Yes, we do.
On one of these episodes, we're going to have to share our story.
Yes.
We'll keep them waiting for that a little bit.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
Because we are definitely doing very well.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've been through it. We've both been divorced twice and been through therapy and the healing and the dating. So we're leading the way.
I just want to touch on one thing,
yeah,
Darlene. Like, people go out there and they're dating.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're on the sites or met someone at Petco in the cat food aisle, right?
Yeah.
You got to have values, people. Don't go out there and just slay. Slay anything you see, okay? Please have some values out there. You're right? I mean, follow your gut.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's all talk. Do we know what our gut is? It's yes or no. Anyone know?
Yeah.
Yes? Darlene? It's all about the gut. It's all about the gut.
You're so okay? You're so
wait,
right.
Hold on. Wait, and anyone else out there?
We got crickets. Well,
I guess no one's fucking listening to us. Hello, anyone out there?
Michael wanted to hit the button.
All right.
I love it.
Follow your gut.
Yes.
All right. If you're out on a date and you're sitting there across from that person and you feel a little anything saying, you know what, this isn't right. Oh my God, you're so fucking hot. I gotta jump on that. Run, please. Just leave. Just say, oh, this was a great night. I gotta go. Your gut is your hookup detector.
Yeah.
Right? It protects you when you're going to get in a car accident. It protects you when you smell smoke. Your gut. Oh, your gut. Oh, or the kids in the house. You run through the house, right? You save your kids and you run out. Save yourself.
Yeah.
If you're with someone and they say something or they're staring at you like they're creepy or they're, you know, not what they appear to be on their photos, at least, you know, they show up and they're, you know, they look like they're like 30 years old in their picture. They show up. They're like fucking bald and fat. You got to leave. Don't sit there and have dinner with them or a drink. Just get the fuck out. Just be like, oh, my God. Yeah, the babysitter canceled. I got to go. And just leave.
Yeah.
Make something up. Get a buddy system involved. Call one of your girlfriends or guy friends and be like, look, man, I'm going on a date. God knows what I'm going to be in for. It's either going to be Miss Universe or Miss Jabba the Hutt. So I need a backup plan. Okay, so please, I'm meeting this person at 9 o'clock. Please call me at 9:30. Just shoot me something at 9:30. Call me. So that's your rescue call. So at least when you're out on this date and it's not going well, you have an out. You get that call. You're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And get the fuck out. Just leave. Just be like, oh, my God, I got to go. And leave. Pay the bill, whatever, and jet.
Yeah. Well, I love that you bring that up because, you know, your intuition in dating is really, it's your true north. You have to honor that.
And you got
to
know when you're ready, because if you're not ready and you can't read yourself, you should not even be out there. Don't leave the house.
Well, and I think intuitively, like everybody listening right now, intuitively knows if they're actually ready to start dating again.
I don't think anyone's ready to start dating again.
No.
No, because, you know, like when you get divorced, I mean, it's very rare you meet someone that's like, oh, me and my ex, we're still friends. We're there for the kids. Yeah, we co-parent great and life is good. Bullshit. 99% of the other ones, there's some sort of drama. Who didn't show up? Who got abused? Who was an alcoholic? Who went to rehab? Who's banging the neighbor, the babysitter, having an affair? You know, whatever. Like, banging the boss. There's damage. So you got to remember, like, when you're out there, you could be dating damaged people. Even with all the therapy in the world for you, and you're ready and you're out there, you also got to remember that there's a lot of people out there that are fucked up.
Yeah.
You know? And ladies, guys want to get into your pants. It never changes. They think with their head, but they follow the other head.
Yeah, no, we know.
The penile.
We know.
It's like a penile. They're like, beep, 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 you know? Like, they just want to get in your pants, especially after getting out of a divorce and they're dating. They want to get laid.
Yeah,
you know?
Well,
and if you're with a guy that doesn't really try to go for it, at least on the second date, you got a problem. You know, the first date, they should be a gentleman. Second date, they should be a college.
Oh, really?
Frat boy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Somewhat. Yeah. Okay. You know, but you got to be treated with respect, right?
Yes, of course.
And please don't give it up on the first date.
No.
Please.
No. Well, and this goes back to self-love and boundaries and like knowing yourself and what you're looking for.
Right. Well, that's for the self-respect, Darlene. That's like you're not going to run out and just hit it with the first guy you go out on a date with, right?
Of course not.
I could totally understand. It's someone you've known. It was a soccer dad, soccer mom. You talked on the sidelines. She gets divorced. You get divorced. You bump into each other one day, picking your kid up at, you know, high school musical or something, or violin class or music, you know, whatever. And then there's like, hey, let's get a drink. That I can maybe see you're going to hit it on the first date, right? Because there's some history there. There's a buildup, right? But if you're like, yo, yeah, I met this chick online. I'm going to go meet her. Please don't. Just don't give it up on the first date. You totally devalued yourself, because that's the only thing you're showing that you have to offer. You're just offering up vagina. That's all you got. The guy's going to accept the vagina. But then you may not get a phone call the next day or following on, because he conquered you. There's no self-respect. The guy wants more than what you have to offer. Maybe he wants the emotion. He wants physical touch, you know, get to know you. Go, you know, maybe you guys share. Maybe you go to knitting class together. Knitting class together. Yeah. But, you know, you gotta just wait at least till the second date.
Yeah.
Please.
No, I agree. Like call it self-respect. And I agree. So definitely self-respect. It's like, you know, you love yourself.
And that's
enough.
Part of dating after divorce, right?
Yeah. Knowing when you're ready for sex like that. That's a whole conversation that we can have, you know.
What? Knowing when you're ready. I think when you get divorced, the first thing you want to do is run out and.
Yeah, but should you?
Go in the flower garden and start picking flowers and. Getting the pollen flying everywhere, like whoop whoop.
Yeah, so whoop, you know, whoop. Wanting to do that, and like, are you ready for that? Two different things.
Oh my god!
Like, but it, just in general, are you ready to get back into dating? Like, the answer is yes. If you've done some work, and you feel like you're emotionally available, you feel like you know what your boundaries are, right, and your values are, then yeah, maybe you are ready to jump back in.
Don't give it up on the first date, please.
But don't give
please,
it up.
Please, please, please. Darlene
agree on
speaks.
That. We agree on that.
You know, whatever Darlene says is like gospel to me, because she's like, you got to read our bios. I mean, she's just so well educated in this, and you know, she's counseling and life coach and all that good stuff. And she's well versed in this.
Yeah. Well,
you are. I'm just giving you the street side of it because.
But you're very successful, like your dating history and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, look, what's success, right? I mean, we found each other.
Yeah.
Right? But you have no idea what I went through to get to you. I mean, it was a lot of craziness went on.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, my advice to everyone out there, don't give it up on the first date. At least wait till the second date. You might have to have some backseat sex, because usually it's the kids are home at your house and the kids are home at their house. So it's kind of like you may not. So you might be prepared for some backseat sex. Hey, it's a flashback to high school. Maybe that's when you met your ex, you know, in high school. Maybe you just get some backseat makeout action going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's an option. And another option is to just like, you know, wait like even longer.
Darlene, didn't we have a little backseat makeout session?
We did not go all the way in a backseat.
No, but backseat makeout, I said.
It was a makeout session.
It was a makeout session. Yeah, but it wasn't. No, we did not have sex in the backseat.
No, we did not.
No, we did not. And I'm just saying, we just had some backseat makeout session.
Oh, yeah. It was super hot. Right? So fun.
And it was so much fun. How'd you feel?
It was amazing.
You felt like what?
Like high school all over
high
again.
High school.
Yeah.
It kind of brings it back.
It does.
And you got to have fun. Like, if you're going to go out, don't go out with a puss face on. Like, dress up, look good.
Yeah.
If it's not working out, it's okay.
Yes.
No, really. It's okay. Just be like, look, it's not working out. I'm not feeling the vibe. I don't feel like we're vibing. So.
Yeah. I love what you said before about having a plan. You know, I always, when I was dating before you and I were exclusive, my girlfriend always knew my location. Like, I would send it to her as I was arriving. Here's my location. Here's his name. Here's his picture.
Well, did that happen to me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you were a new guy.
I was a new guy. So
you were a new guy.
So there was someone on standby with my photo.
Yeah.
With your GPS location.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did they do a rescue call or anything?
We had a code. We have emoji codes. And so all I would have to do is send her one of the emojis and she would know exactly what's up. So I wouldn't even have to say anything. She didn't even have to call. It's just an emoji.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
When I went out, I just leave a note. Dear my children, if I don't return...
it's very different for
Daddy
women.
Went down on a dating app chick. Sorry. Love you. I'll see you in the afterlife. Peace. There's money upstairs for bail. You know, like what?
That's great. No, you know, as a woman, you have to protect yourself. Like your physical safety has to be like top priority. You don't know these men. You have to, there's a whole vetting that you do even before you're going to accept a date with somebody. And if you get that far to go meet them in person, they're still a stranger.
They are a stranger. And you know what? We have this amazing thing called Google.
Mm-hmm.
You can, I mean, I'm hoping that if you're going out on a date, you at least have their last name. There's a lot of Johns, Steves, Bills, Sebastians. I mean, the whole world's full of them, right?
Yeah.
Or Jennifer's.
Yeah, and you could do a quick background check. Like, I background check.
Did I get a background check?
Okay, I didn't do the background check on you.
Oh, okay.
Andrea, my girlfriend Andrea. She, I don't have to do anything.
What did she do? Did she do a background check?
She is a master. I could tell her somebody's name, and within 30 seconds, I've got 50 screenshots of, like, where they've lived, who they were married to, where they work, their parents' name, the church they went to.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Did you have my bio?
You know, she did not... do a background check on you.
My New York State Department of Justice background check.
No,
did she get that?
We did not. She didn't, because I never did. She did always did them for me because she was just into it. And she didn't do it on you.
Well, thank God.
Then no, it didn't happen for you. I think because I was telling
20
her.
Years,
like,
I had bodies
just,
in my basement.
I just knew with you that they're like, this was something. Like I felt your.
You felt.
Who
felt
you
it.
Were. Yeah.
Well, we did hit it on that spiritual
yes.
connection. Well, I'm very spiritual. I feel energy, which helps me in dating a lot. I can almost read people's minds. I know what they're going to say next. I can feel it. I can feel them. I become them.
Yeah.
Because the energy field is all around us. And it's kind of freaky, and people go, it's fucking bullshit. But you know what? It's true.
It's
and
so
it's
true.
Helped me out so many times, and here we are, darling.
Yeah.
Here we are.
When we do our episode on first dates, I'll share some of that because you read my mind. You did.
I did. I read her mind.
You did.
I knew I was not going to get laid on the first date. Just so you know, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it would take some time.
Yeah.
It did.
Good things come to those who wait. It's true.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because if it happens fast, it ends fast. If it starts out slow, it lasts a lot longer. You'll have a better relationship
yeah.
because you'll meet someone and then before you know it, you're on the phone, you're texting five times a day. Yeah, 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 we're going to meet. You go out and meet. Then you got the backseat make out sex session. Usually you're going to hit it. And then like a week later, it starts dying down. You start getting caught up in life and then they just wither away. They weren't that special.
Yeah.
But it happened like a vortex. You get sucked in.
You do. We could share more about that another time.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. I got so much content on that. Oh, my God.
So I think we're leaving everybody off in a good place right now. Like to really know, like, if they're ready, if they're not ready. And so, you know, intuitively, they know. They know if they're not ready. Like, if you're not ready, okay. But don't say that you're ready. Like, be honest in what you're saying to people, whether you're meeting them in person or online.
Well, they just need to know that if they don't have self-love, they don't take responsibility for why the relationship ended, because it does take two to tango.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good and bad.
Like, you got to get the inner work done. You gotta make sure you're a solid person.
Yeah.
You can't control who you're dating. And let me tell you, you're not going to meet them on the first date. You might have to go through 50 dates.
You might.
That could be 2-3 years, or that could be 3 months. It depends on how much you date. I mean, I know the women, they get bombarded with dudes like on dating sites and stuff. It's like overwhelming. But at least you have some sort of a pick. But if you get to see a super hot guy and you're like, oh, yeah, that's the one. Guess what? There's like 80,000 other women hitting them up, too. So you just be careful. Just be careful. Just go with your gut. Go out on that date, men and women.
Yeah.
That's your vetting process, is your gut, the energy. Open up your eyes.
Yeah.
Feel. Go outside. Close your eyes. Listen. Feel the breeze blow. Ground yourself. Take your shoes off. Go walk around the grass a little bit. Ground out.
Yeah.
Become back to one with nature.
Yeah.
And you will feel that energy.
Yeah.
You'll know when it's right when you're on the phone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important too. Like we didn't really talk much about that. Like when you, cause you know, when you first start dating, but that's an important step, you know, getting on the phone. Cause there are a lot of guys out there, ladies, who they don't want to talk. They're just going to text you and, you know, they're going to want to meet you without an actual conversation. But you need a phone conversation. A FaceTime is even better to make sure they are who they say they are.
You know what? You fucking nailed it. You nailed it right there.
Yeah.
Do a FaceTime, please. Yes. Everybody, do a FaceTime.
Yes.
Don't be texting and then be like, oh, yeah, I'm texting this freaking person and I'm going to go out and I'm going to.
You don't know who they are. It could be anybody on the other side.
It'd be Jabba the Hutt. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Get their last name. FaceTime. Make sure they are who they are. Okay? You'd be surprised. A lot of guys don't have hair. They throw up their, like, 25-year-old photo.
It's true. Yeah. There are several men that I came across that, you know, when I did the FaceTime and I looked at the profile pictures, I'm like, these pictures must be at least a decade old, maybe more. So people misrepresent themselves.
Well, I want to just go over the different types of relationships that you could be experiencing when you're dating after divorce.
Okay.
All right. So one night stands.
There we go.
Right? Who doesn't like a one night stand once in a while? You might need to do that or experience it if you didn't do it. All right. Then there's the situationship, which I learned from my kids. Right. You're kind of seeing each other. There's no commitment, but you hook up. Maybe you meet up for dinner once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. The kids are with the other parents or whatever, and you're able to like get in there. Oop, I got a babysitter. Right. Okay. And maybe that'll build into something more, right? But it also leaves you options open. Maybe you're dating other people, so you don't have someone mad at you, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And then you get into dating. Like, I like you.
Yes.
Darlene, I like you.
Yeah.
I'm going to commit myself to you, and I'm not going to date anyone else.
Yeah.
So now you're dating, which means no more people. Get rid of them. Like, shut down your apps. Block the psychos that keep calling you, trying to get the date. You got to just kind of cut it off. Now you're with that person. If you came to that point and you want to date that person, you got to shut it all down. Because if you're still on the sites and you're dating that person, you don't think that's going to work out. Your gut is telling you she's great or he's great. But I want a backup. I want backup.
Yeah.
That's like having an extra set of batteries for your flashlight. It's good to have, but you don't need them right now. Your flashlight works. And when it stops working, you have a conversation with each other and say, yeah, yo, we need to recharge.
Yeah. I mean, I love that analogy. Maybe your intuition knows that, but also it's more likely fear. You know, and it's just, it's more likely fear of
commitment,
fear of commitment, as well as
fear of rejection,
self-sabotage, but also
fear.
Go ahead.
Of solar eclipses. It could be something like that too, right?
Fear of it working out and like you having to like actually.
Fear of being alone. Can you be alone?
Can I? Are you asking me?
I'm asking our audience.
You're asking them, okay.
Yeah. Can you be alone?
Yeah, it's important to be able to be alone.
Can we all be alone? I'm not really hearing
anyone. We don't want to be alone. That's why we're talking about dating.
Yeah, I mean,
because we are human. You know, we're social creatures. Listen, we want to connect.
Look, you got to know that you can be alone.
Yes.
If you're out there dating and you're gonna have a one night stand, a situationship, a friend with benefits, you're gonna start to date and one person and kind of be committed to that person, or you're gonna go into like freaking stage five, which is like full on, we're together, possibly move in, type our kids met, we're all hanging out.
Yeah.
That's serious. That's a serious relationship, you know. But
yeah, but you got to know from the beginning. Like let's say you're going on the apps. Like where are you with that? It's okay to not want something serious, but I think the problem is people aren't honest. And so that's why we're going to do a whole episode to let the ladies know at least like how to spot things to look for in profiles and dating profiles to know if somebody is really looking for the real thing.
And that's right, man. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about the dating sites and how to find that Photoshop photo. Jabba, Mrs. Hutt is hiding on you.
Save you a lot of time.
Oh, my God. So you guys don't get the Houdini. You don't want the Houdini. You think you're getting this, and then woof, walks through the door. You're like, what?
Yeah.
But it does happen with women, too. I'm also going to help the women out, too. I mean,
yeah,
you got to protect the women, too, right?
The FaceTime, it can really help with that for sure, because, you know, at least you see their face, their hair. You know, you have a sense of their physical appearance.
Right. I want to just touch base on being alone,
mm-hmm.
because I think a lot of people out there need to be alone. Like, you need to be alone, get to know yourself, do some stuff around your house, read a book, play with your cats, go do some gardening or something if you have a garden, like... You need to spend time, go for a walk by yourself through nature. Nature is like a natural healing process. Like, you can go out. It's like medicine.
Yeah.
You go for a walk on a nice trail, and it's just like the trees, the wind, the fresh air. You get ions, energy's flying. You know, you should know how to be alone.
Yeah.
Because if you can't be alone, you're going to end up in another toxic relationship because you're going to jump right in it because you're afraid to be alone.
Yeah,
you don't want to be alone. You want to be accepted. You want you, and you don't really care who it is because your mind is going to just play games on you and just.
So you're talking about people who use dating as a vice, like.
Well,
people,
I mean, some people don't like to be alone, so they just go out and date.
Right, or some people don't like to be alone, so they, you know, they drink or they do something else to numb out being with themselves. And so I love that you're saying that, like being able to just be with self is key.
Usually without... people that are drinking, they got childhood issues or there's a genetic thing going on there.
Yeah. I mean, but what you're speaking about, like being alone, is really like, can you be with yourself? Can you be present for yourself? And
yeah. Can you entertain yourself? Can you? Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
I'll hang out home all day.
Yeah, I think all the ladies need to do it.
I got a lot of content. I can just sit home all by myself.
Well, you stay busy.
All by myself.
Here we go. Get ready.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm not a good singer.
No, it's a really important thing. And it just goes back to the beginning of the conversation of, like, are you ready? And, you know, really making sure that you've done the inner work and worked on yourself as a person. Not just with the healing and the self-reflection, but also looking at growth and who am I, who do I want to be, and just looking to improve yourself just a little bit every day.
Improve yourself. Look, let's just break it down because our show is going to end shortly. Let's just break it down. You're divorced. You're getting a divorce. Go get some therapy. Figure out what went right, what went wrong. What you need to do, what your failures are, work on them, make yourself a better person. You got to do the work. It's like if you're overweight, you got to lose weight. You got to go to the gym. You got to lift weights. You got to do cardio. It sucks. You got to diet, but you got to do it. Why wouldn't you do that for your mental health? Just know who you are. Get yourself fixed. then you're ready to go out and date, because otherwise you're going to destroy someone's life.
Yeah.
Right? Or you could be like all fucked up. You know, you could be dating everybody. You're going to be a player or a playette. You're going to just be all over the place.
And that's why we have this podcast, because that, there's a lot of people out there. Most people out there haven't done the work.
Yo, and, I got to tell you.
That's what the apps are full of.
I mean, I can't speak for Darlene on who she's dated, but honestly, I've dated some train wrecks. Like, went out on dates. Not like dating, but dates. And thank God the gut. It just got the hell out of that. Got out of that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of those experiences. I had a handful. Enough, I would say. Like,
well, you were pretty picky on who you were dating.
Oh, I was extremely picky. Yeah.
Yeah. I was out. Just dating.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, yeah, she seems very nice. So go date, mm-hmm. you know, get a drink, have some dinner.
Right.
You know, whatever. But,
yeah. But, so you had more of those wild experiences.
Yeah. I had a few wild experiences, but there's a lot of damaged people out there. Damaged goods, I call it. Mm-hmm. Damaged goods. She's damaged goods. I mean, I'm saying she because I'm a guy. I'm hetero. I like women. So they were pretty damaged. And that's why you need to get help. You need to just find out who you are. Go do some yoga. Get spiritual, you know?
Yeah.
I find that helps.
Interesting. I found a lot of men, good men, like the men that I dated were good men. And but I also found that like a lot of them are on that healing journey, but they're not quite ready yet. Like I could sense that there's still a lot more work for them to do. And I think just culturally, men are not like you went to therapy, but a lot of men don't. There's still a stigma to admit that they need help, you know? And so there's a lot of guys out there listening right now that need therapy, need healing. They want it, but there's some fear that like, will other people think of me if I'm in therapy, or am I admitting that I was wrong? You know, so
is there something wrong with me?
Yeah.
No, you're just making yourself better.
Yeah. So go get therapy if that's you.
Yeah, and if you were in marriage counseling and you had a good counselor and you're getting a divorce, I'm sure your ex-spouse isn't going to want to use them anymore. So use them because they already know your story and they'll help you get through the divorce. That's what mine did. I had an excellent marriage counselor. I was in marriage counseling for like 2.5 years. She was excellent. And then she gave me some, you know, we continued therapy after. And she was excellent. She knew me. She called me out on my bullshit, and she was great. And I am forever indebted to her, even though I paid her a lot of money. But but where I'm going with this, on the first session, I told her, I was like, I'm not going to say her name, but I was like, look, marriage counseling is a great, it's a great form to try to get two people together and figure it out with a professional. But my experience is once you enter marriage counseling, it's gonna fail. You just kind of extending, you're just trying to extend it out a little bit. Maybe you can fix it, but it's a really small amount. Like 20% of people can actually make their marriage work if once you're in marriage counseling.
Yeah. And well, because
and don't quote me on that percentage. Right. Don't. I'm not like an expert on the percentages, but from what I've seen through friends and, you know, if I break it down like right off the top of my head, which I wasn't a great person in math, but I could cross multiply, divide and do a percentage calculation. So out of 10, 8 of them still got divorced. The other 2 stayed together and they're still fucking miserable. So
yeah,
I don't know how that helped them.
You know what?
I don't. Oh, wait, hold up. Yeah.
Oh, no, there's truth to that. You know, I think part of that is going back to like you got to find a good counselor, good therapist. And so if you're somebody who's in a relationship and you're still trying to make it work, like to Michael's point, you got to find somebody who focuses on repair work. there's a whole separate sector of therapy that's repair work for couples. And a lot of marriage counselors haven't delved into that. They don't even understand it. So finding somebody who focuses on repair work, somebody who can help you learn Imago dialogue, it's something that can help you either with the repair of a current relationship or in any relationship that you enter into.
I want to know an example of this.
Imago dialogue?
Imago dialogue.
It is the most powerful communication tool for couples that if you have it, you're destined to succeed.
This is how I envision this dialogue.
Oh, no, it's so good.
You're a fucking bitch. You didn't do the dishes.
It's nothing like that.
It's very powerful.
It's nothing like that, Michael.
It's very powerful. I don't know.
You're actually
a loser. You only bring home $200 a week. You know, like, is it like that or?
Oh, no.
Or is it like they hook you up electrically and they start zapping your ass?
It's literally something you can learn in 15 minutes that can change somebody's life, completely heal a relationship.
Are you qualified in this?
Yeah, it's not a hard thing. Anybody can learn it. We can do a whole episode and give an example.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we should do that. I think our audience would love to hear us go through that. All right.
Stay tuned for Imago Dialogue.
Imago Dialogue. Yeah. I like that.
And
beautiful Darlene just knows it.
We're going to have to use like a real situation between us in order like to give them a real example.
I would just cancel the credit cards, guys. That's the way I would go. Like, that's pretty much how it goes. You know, hide the car keys, you know, change the locks on the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess we have different approaches.
Credit cards work. Yeah.
A lot of women have their own credit cards.
Link to your account. You can shut that shit down. But yeah, you want to save that money because you're going to need it because you're going to be taking other people out on dates. So make sure you conserve as much money as you can. And look, dating gets expensive. Dating's expensive. I mean, you're going out on 2-3 dates a week. You know, $100 here, $50 there, $100. Oh, you're getting out of work early because they're getting out of work early and you try to, you know, oh, you're out early. Well, yep, you get a few drinks. Oh, let's get something to eat too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you paid, you know, mostly for dates, right? So, like for women, it doesn't cost as much, but there's still an expense, right? Maybe they're getting their hair done more, their nails done, they're buying some new clothes. So yeah, there's an expense.
Yeah,
for dating. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. I had to get a whole new wardrobe. I had to throw all my wife beaters out because I didn't have a wife anymore, so I got rid of those. I got some like really GQ tops and tight pants, some killer kicks.
Yeah.
Extra hair gel.
Yeah, you look good.
I grew a beard for a while.
I love the beard.
I'm clean shaven now.
Yeah.
Now it's a whole new experience. It's like she's dating someone new now.
Yeah.
The same dude, but new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta keep it going.
You did that when you were overseas too.
I did that.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's because I forgot my buzzer and it was out of control. And I'm like, all right, I gotta get a razor.
I gotta
just shave this shit off. It's like look like a fucking Neanderthal walking through Barcelona, Spain. You know what I mean? You just shave that down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we need to wrap this up.
I think so. I think, you know,
that's our take.
That is our take.
Our take on
dating after divorce.
Dating after divorce. I mean, look, I'm sure everyone's confused as fuck right now, but the template is there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So should we
know if they're ready.
Well, let's just hit it one more time. We're not gonna talk about it.
All right.
We're just gonna shoot it out.
All right. Who's doing it?
How do you know you're ready? All right. Get some therapy.
Right. Like so. You've done some inner work, right?
Yeah.
You've reflected. You know what your part was. You've taken ownership. You're not sitting there complaining to your friends. It was all him or all her, right? You know you love yourself again. You have self-respect. You know what you're looking for. You know what your boundaries are. You're willing to communicate that. You're emotionally open and able to be vulnerable again. And I think that's it.
Yeah. And then get your house in order.
Big one.
Make sure you're healed. Make sure your inner work is taken care of. know your self-worth and your inner qualities, know what you're kind of looking for, you know, and just remember there's the one-night stand, the situationship, the casual special friend relationship, or you can go on a dating and you're kind of just into each other, or then you go into the serious relationship where your kids are meeting their kids and you're all hanging out like the freaking Brady Bunch with good skills. But on the other note, I wish everybody luck out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is a war zone.
It's a war zone. It's the Wild West. It's a lot of fun. And we have some good content coming up for you to help you navigate it.
That's right. And I hope everyone tunes into our next show. It's going to be really, really good. Internet dating. Navigating
Ooh.
Those apps.
Oh, yeah. I think they're ready for that.
I think everyone's ready for that. Yeah. I think it's about time someone even talked about it.
There's so much to talk about.
There's so much. And you know what? We are your go-to podcast for that information because...
Especially if you're over 40.
Over 40.
If you are over 40 and you are getting back into dating after divorce, you need to click subscribe
now. It's this simple.
We got your back.
If you got a TikTok, you're too young to listen to us. If you don't have a TikTok, then you are primed and ready for our podcast.
Yeah, because it is different. Like what people in our generation are looking for is different than what the younger generation is looking for.
The younger generation's fucked. We're all fucked right
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
the younger
we have
generation.
Different...
Oh my God. We can have a show just on that.
We're
all
actually
right.
better positioned. If you're over 40, you're actually better positioned to have a real relationship compared to like the younger generation because they're just in that situationship mindset.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, we're going to head out.
That's it. That's our take.
That's our take. And I want to thank everybody for listening today. And
we'd love to hear your take. If you want to give us your take on dating after divorce and let us know what you're struggling with or a dating situation that you're in and you're just not sure, like, why is he doing this or what's up with her? You can click the link in the show notes and tell us all about what's going on. And we might even bring you on air and we'll talk about your situation and give you some tips.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I can't wait to have someone here.
Yeah.
I really can't.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, you're going to have to put a seatbelt on for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to break it down.
Yeah, and even if they're not local to us to come in studio, they can still write in and we can just talk about it
yes.
in the air.
That's right.
Yeah. So
we have all those capabilities.
Yes. All right.
All right. There it's it our is. Take with Michael and Darlene. Thank you.
Till next time.
Till next time.